Let's read together 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Now in this first chapter of 1 Chronicles, we have genealogies taking us from Adam to Abraham in the first half of the chapter, and then from Abraham to Jacob in the second half of the chapter. Let's begin by reading a few of the verses containing the genealogy from Adam to Abraham in verses 1 through 27. We'll read the first four verses. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now in verses 5 through 7, we have the line of Japheth. And then in verses 8 through 16, we have the line of Ham. And in verses 17 through 27, we have the line of Shem. Let's pick it up in verse 24. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, who is Abraham. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 1, with some background notes. The books of 1 and 2 Chronicles cover the same period in the history of Israel as 2 Samuel through 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles corresponds to 2 Samuel, and 2 Chronicles corresponds to 1 and 2 Kings. However, 1 and 2 Chronicles are not a mere repetition of the same material as in Samuel and Kings, although there are some similar passages. Their perspective of 1 and 2 Chronicles is different from that of Samuel and Kings. The purpose of 2 Samuel and Kings is to give a political history of the kingdoms of Israel and Judah, whereas the purpose of 1 and 2 Chronicles is to give a religious history of the Davidic dynasty of the kingdom of Judah. Samuel and Kings were written from a prophetic and moral viewpoint, whereas 1 and 2 Chronicles were written from a priestly and spiritual viewpoint. In chapters 1 through 9 of 1 Chronicles, we have the largest collection of biblical genealogies in the Bible. They go all the way from Adam to the return of the Jews from their captivity in Babylon. This is why Ezra is the most likely candidate for the authorship of 1 and 2 Chronicles, although his name is not given. Remember, Ezra was a scribe, and he came back to Jerusalem in the second wave of return captives from Babylon in 458 BC. Ezra was very concerned about the spiritual condition of the nation. The book of Ezra also contains genealogical material, and you will notice that the last two verses of 2 Chronicles are almost identical to the first three verses of the book of Ezra. I'm reading 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May the Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. Now look over at Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, which in most of your Bibles is right across the page. "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, 'Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God, which is in Jerusalem.'" Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So you can see just by the similarity in those verses that Ezra is the most likely candidate for writing 1 and 2 Chronicles, even though his name is not given as the author. Let's move now to our doctrinal points for this first chapter of 1 Chronicles. Doctrinal point number one: the genealogy from Adam to Abraham is important. The genealogy from Adam to Abraham is important. Biblical genealogies are not exactly exciting to read, for most people anyway. In fact, let's be honest. Most of us have only scanned the first few chapters of 1 Chronicles, right? But biblical genealogies are important. Why? The overall purpose, of course, is to trace the line from Adam to the Messiah. But a number of other reasons could be given as well. Let's list a couple of these other reasons why God included this genealogy from Adam to Abraham in the verses that we just read. Number one, the genealogy from Adam to Abraham is real history. Critics of the Bible like to say that the stories in Genesis are just Jewish legends and not true history. Well, they have a tough time throwing out the biblical genealogies. These genealogies support the fact that the biblical characters of Abraham and Noah and Adam and the others were real people who lived in real history. A second reason why God included this genealogy is to show that mankind has not been on this earth for a million years. Those who believe in the theory of evolution believe that humans have been around for a million years and pre-humans have been in existence for at least 4 million years. Well, these folks take a low view of the biblical genealogies, whether it be in Genesis chapters 5 and 11 or here in 1 Chronicles chapter 1. The biblical genealogies show that man has been on this earth only a few thousand years. And if there are no gaps in the chronologies of Genesis chapters 5 and 11, then Adam came from the hand of God during creation week only 4,000 years before Christ. And even if there are a couple of gaps in the chronological tables of Genesis chapters 5 and 11, they are small, and there's no way that Adam can be pushed back a million years. And there are cross-checks in the Bible to prevent us from stretching out these early biblical genealogies. For example, Jude verse 14 says that Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Now count the names here in the first few verses of 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch. 7 generations. No gaps here. So the biblical genealogies certainly refute the theory of evolution. A third reason why God included this genealogy from Adam to Abraham is for important background. For example, in verses 13 and 14, we read, Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite. When Israel came into the land of Canaan at the time of the conquest, we read that they conquered the Jebusites, the Amorites, and the Girgashites, as well as others. We see here in 1 Chronicles chapter 1 that they were all Canaanites, that is, descendants of Canaan, and we see why the land was called the land of Canaan. In verse 19, we read that to Eber were born 2 sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided. The division spoken of here refers to the event of the Tower of Babel, where God divided the families of the earth by giving them different languages. This background supports the biblical account of the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. In verses 25 through 27, we see that Eber was the great-great-great-great-grandfather of Abraham. 4 greats. The Eber that's mentioned on the very ancient Ebla tablets discovered in Syria is probably the same Eber that's mentioned here, again supporting the biblical record. The genealogy from Adam to Abraham is important. Doctrinal point number 2. The genealogy from Abraham to Jacob is important. The genealogy from Abraham to Jacob is important. Verses 28 through 54. Verse 28, the sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. And now in verses 29 through 31, we have the sons of Ishmael. Verse 32, now the sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine, were Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaa. All these were the children of Keturah. And now from verse 35 down to the end of the chapter, we have the descendants of Esau. Remember, Esau was the father of the Edomites, and thus the chapter closes with, these were the chiefs of Edom. In chapter 2, we will follow the line from Jacob to David. Question: if the purpose of Chronicles is to show the lineage from Adam to Abraham, and then from Abraham to David, in order to lay the groundwork for the coming of the Messiah through the line of David, why did God choose to include the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Abraham through Keturah and the sons of Esau in these genealogies? Answer: again, it shows that the Bible is about real people and real history. Also, it shows that God is concerned about individual people, not just masses of people, even though these individual people may not be the main focus of God's plans and program for the coming of the Messiah. And then again, we have more important background in this complete genealogy from Abraham to Jacob. For example, the Arab peoples today descend not only from Ishmael, but also from the six other sons that Abraham had with Keturah, whom he married after Sarah died. We learn more important biblical background in verse 43. Where we read, now these were the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before a king reigned over the children of Israel. So the genealogy from Abraham to Jacob is important. Now what about practical application from this first chapter in 1 Chronicles? Remember Enoch. Remember Enoch. Enoch is listed in verse 3 as well as in the book of Jude, as we mentioned. Now, what do you remember about Enoch? He walked with God and he never died. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. From Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Here's what we read about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11, where the author of Hebrews goes from Abel to Enoch in his list of faith heroes. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. What a great testimony. Let's have testimonies like Enoch. And Enoch was raptured home to heaven before the great flood, a spiritual picture of the rapture of the church home to heaven before the great flood of God's judgment that will come during the future tribulation period. So remember Enoch.